So, Richie Neal, as I have said before, when I want to understand anything about Irish affairs, particularly contemporary as well as historical Irish affairs, I go to you. And I got a press release which said that you intrigued me. You and the mayor of Boston were talking about a very famous day on an Easter Sunday that occurred in Ireland. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yes, and the question really is the age-old issue that has plagued the relationships between Great Britain and Ireland, or at that time it would have been Ireland and England. And the question was well known as simply being the Irish question. Ireland was England's first colony, much of it based upon geography, and the Brits being very concerned about not having a hostile power located to their west. And identity between Catholic and Protestant became pronounced during the Reformation.
Indeed.
And with the Reformation, both sides began to harden their positions. And the constant effort of the Irish to seek, first of all, home rule and then independence was highlighted by a series of uprisings in 1798, in 1803, and again in 1848. But on Easter morning in 1916, a ragtag group of individuals decided upon seizing the General Post Office in Dublin that they would declare Irish independence. And they were speaking to the frustration of the lack of any initiative on home rule. And what's fascinating about it is that on the next morning when Patrick Pearse read the proclamation in front of the GPO, that the proclamation and their presence was really met by skepticism, romanticism, and a bit of derision because the odds were very long. I think it's noteworthy that some of the great writers that we've all had a chance to entertain during the course of our lifetimes, including George Bernard Shaw and William Butler Yeats and James Joyce, they all came to the aid of the rebels. But it was at that moment when people thought this had been a foolhardy mission. Only in subsequent weeks and beginning on May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of 1916, when the English began to execute the prisoners, did public opinion shift in America and in Ireland, and all of a sudden these individuals became great martyrs. Now, there's always been this kind of interesting analysis that was offered by Winston Churchill, certainly with great emphasis, suggesting that even if you could subjugate the Irish on the island of Ireland, you could not win the battle in America over public opinion. And I think that at that time, the prime minister's name was Asquith, and he began to panic over opinion because remember that they needed America in World War I. So you had this six-day effort that, again, was met with great doubt. Only a few years later to be met with Irish independence because of what they had done that day.
And what exactly did they do, Richie?
Well, they seized the post office and they began a hand-to-hand combat with, at the beginning, 400 British soldiers, and then by the end of the week, 20,000 British soldiers.
Whoa.
And this was the rebels, and Prime Minister Asquith visited the jails and concluded that not only had they been great fighters, but he was struck by just how young they were.
And how did
he reminded everybody of Gladstone's admonition that you cannot keep these people in subjugation. And I think that that began the very serious discourse that led to Irish independence, but also because of the relationship between the Unionist population and those who wished to maintain their association with England in the northeast of Ireland.
Mm.
And the Conservative Party, that is why Ireland was partitioned in 1921.
And can you draw the direct line for us, Richie, between independence and this Easter Sunday takeover?
Well, what happened was, again, it was met with great skepticism, and the Brits overreacted. And by deciding to execute these individuals, and a reminder, because you asked a good question, We tend to forget too often the great Protestants in Irish history, including Wolfe Tone, Roger Casement, and Robert Emmet, who all paid dearly for their efforts. And on that fateful day, there were many Protestants who supported the uprising in Ireland. But by putting it down with extraordinary force, and most would argue disproportionately, and then executing the prisoners, they took what was seen as an odd moment, and they turned it into a celebrated victory as these individuals were executed and led to wide world opinion in support of Irish independence.
And how did they deal with their American conundrum?
Well, you remember that beginning with the great potato famine, or what was called Agatha Moore, the Great Hunger, that there were in America almost 20% of the population, including the 150,000 men who served in the Civil War who were Irish on the northern side.
Yep.
They either traced their own lineage or their parents' or grandparents' lineage to Ireland, and their opinion counted very much in American politics. So you had 20% of America at that time in 1916 who were either Irish-born or had parents or grandparents who had immigrated to the island, from the island.
You know, you make a great point about the Civil War, because as I remember my history, probably wrongly, the Brits were closer to the South than they were to us.
Well, they certainly were skeptical, that's for sure, because they needed that wool production and they needed what was coming from the South to keep the mills going in England. And it was one of Lincoln's most skillful moments, as you know, as he issued the Emancipation Proclamation with an eye on that very issue, when he decided that by issuing that proclamation, then the sympathizers across Europe would have to explain why they supported slavery.
And so when the revolution actually came and there was a split, you know, as you say, the North was partitioned and the country gained its independence. How did that play forward in terms of the Protestant do-gooders, the Asquiths and the others, who felt that they had made a mistake? Or did they feel they made a mistake?
Well, I think that Gladstone knew they made a mistake and said it was one of the most tarnished moments in British history. Churchill warned repeatedly that they couldn't sustain it. And British opinion, because they felt a long time ago that the British should acquiesce on the island. But they had one problem, and it was political, and that was that the Unionists were a very important part of the Conservative coalition in the British Parliament. So conservative prime ministers always had to pay great attention to what they had to say, as opposed to Labour prime ministers, including Tony Blair, who did the right thing at the right moment in history. But not to miss the point that intransigence amongst those unionists in the northeastern part of Ireland, where they constitute now about 52% of the population in this six-county area about the size of the state of Connecticut, that we hope that the abiding principle that was acknowledged on Easter morning in 1916 will eventually bring about a united Ireland.
We only got a minute or so, but how is that 1916 revolution treated as a holiday?
Well, it's going to be celebrated widely across the island of Ireland and here across America, and there are many, many plans already underway for what these celebrations will be like. And I think in many city and town halls, including, I know, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, and Chicago, they've already begun not only the planning but implementation of centenary events. And the Irish Prime Minister will be here to participate, as will members of Sinn Féin and other political parties.
Well, I hope you'll bring the Irish Prime Minister on WAMC with you.
For that.
And we can have a conversation about that. Hey, Richie Neal, always wonderful to talk to you about things Irish because and everything else, because that's where I keep learning about all of this. So there you go.
Thank you, Alan.